We're in Romans 15 this morning. Romans chapter 15. One of the things we see right out of the gate in chapter 1 was that Paul was very much concerned about the relationship between the Jews and the Gentiles in Rome. Because Rome was the big city. It was the center of all of the Roman Empire, of course. And as it were, there were synagogues there with Jews, and there were people there who were getting converted that were Gentiles, and they were getting together to worship. But there was a little problem now and again when you bring together such different backgrounds. And you and I, you know, deal with that periodically as well. Sometimes we meet somebody in our day-to-day and it just kind of throws us for a loop because they have a background that is completely different. And there's all kinds of stuff, but once they get saved, what do you do? Well, when I got saved, I came to church and I sat on the second row, which I find the newer believers are sitting up close. You see that? We say, well, you know, you get lit up, you're hungry, you're leaning in, you want some more, give me some more of that because that's some good stuff. But when I got saved, I had hair down the middle of my back, and back then it was a no-no to have that. Today, everybody's kind of relaxed a little because there's so much other weird stuff going on, like pants down the middle of your ankles. Just saying. Forget about the hair, pull your pants up. All right? Now, what I'm saying is that we live in a world where people are going to come into our zone, and we're going to be struggling with that. For this people that were in the book of Romans, it was Jewish people who knew what it was to stand straight, you know, snap to, and be all together, all about ritual and dogma and separate and clean and holy, and boy, they had that going on. And because of the state of affairs in the time of the Roman Empire and Israel not being its own entity anyway, people would kind of drift and they would be dispersed and some would end up in Rome. And there they are looking at all this goofiness and they would walk around holier than thou. Well, we don't have that going on. But then this thing happened. Jesus came and he rent the veil of the temple and he put aside all of the accoutrements of the law and he began to say it's by grace alone. You can't work for it. No, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, it says in chapter 10. It's the end of the law for righteousness. You can't get righteousness from the law, even though it's like getting blood out of a stone, because you and I are broken. And that's what the law was sent to show us. We are broken. Now, the fact of the matter is that when you would come into the midst of that time, it was very difficult for a Jewish man to get his mind around the idea that these Gentiles are now part of our family. And when we look at chapter 14, we see him saying, y'all need to get along. You need to stop, you know, destroying one another for the things that you think are important. Like your freedom can become very, very dangerous. It can become kind of be like a flailing. I'm free. And I want to go on record as making it clear what we did out of the gate last time we were together in chapter 14. The freedom that they had was not freedom to sin. Their freedom was a freedom to be morally, you know, just lit up. And the problems that they were having was the weak people in the faith were really, really fastidious about doing what's right. You know what that means? That means that when a person got saved in their day, they showed up for church services. And what you're looking at is you're looking at chapter 15 now, which actually is part of chapter 14. The first several verses are at any rate, because he's still talking about the weak and the strong. And he calls himself one of the strong. See, he's not keeping the law anymore. He's not all about going through the rituals of the law and trying to keep every feast fastidiously and trying not to touch the unclean Gentiles. Now, Gentiles are anybody who are not Jewish, okay? Which means the bulk of this room is made up of Gentiles. This is the family photograph with you and me in view, okay? It's all about the Gentiles right here in chapter 15. And what I want you to see, and we're going to see it, it breaks into four pieces. The first section is verses 1 through 7, and it deals with the need for the strong, the Jewish people, who have a clue about who Jesus is and the freedom in Christ they've got. It's the strong who need to be minding the Gentiles. They need to mind the Gentiles. Get to mind around them and think about them and embrace them and bring them in. Look what it says in verse 1. It says, we then that are strong. Paul puts himself in that group.
We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now the infirmities, the word infirmities is used another place about a man who was lame in his legs. When the apostles were going into the temple, there was a man there, lame, broken, afflicted in his legs. Now, when people get saved and they have some broken stuff. And what I'm saying is when he talks about infirmities, some people are weak because they have certain accoutrements like I did. Some people are weak because they have a sensitivity, hypersensitivity, and we need to bear with them. Okay? Now, it's kind of funny because I try to think in terms of, are we strong or are we weak? What do you think? You think you're strong or you're weak? Because the strong is the person who says, I know what God wants me to do. I'm going to do everything I can to accomplish it. I am going to be His child. He's going to be my king. I'm going to be where He wants me to be. If I'm not in prayer meeting, it's because I'm witnessing, I'm ministering, I'm reading, I'm fasting, I'm praying, I'm walking with God. You see, when we lay down and say we're going to do nothing, what we become is we become libertines. Libertines are people who say, I have liberty, and I'm going to champion my liberty. I'm going to tell nobody. I'm going to tell everybody, you don't tell me what to do. It's not about anybody telling you what to do. It's about you letting the Holy Spirit say, I'm in charge. And today what I want to do is I want to shed my love through your life. I want to shed the love of God in your life. I want to love through you. Because you, the Holy Spirit doesn't have a body in which to move if you don't allow Him the liberty to use yours. So your mouth, your eyes, your ears, everything you do, say, your hands, your feet, your ministry, your smile, your service, it's all about letting Him use you. That's the strong person. Okay, so I'm not really sure where we are. Okay, I have to honestly answer that. Are we strong? Are we weak? I think we're somewhere in the middle. I think we're in a day where we look pretty good compared sometimes to the rest of the church that's gone goofy. Okay, whether it's doctrinally, morally, or whatever, and I think sometimes we soothe ourselves. But the reality is, God's not going to judge you on what they were doing. He's going to judge you on what you allowed Him to do through you. Your plumb line is this book. Okay? Every one of us comes to this book, and when it says, you need to follow me, we need to follow Him. And when He says in verse 1, we who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves, there's part of it, pleasing ourselves. Well, you know how people please themselves today sometimes? They please themselves by doing everything they want to do. First choice, what do I want to do? What are we going to do tonight? Well, it's Wednesday. Yeah, I know, but we could go out to eat. Well, it's Sunday morning, I want to sleep. Well, it's Sunday school. Yeah, but you know. We please ourselves. It's all about, that's the first choice. That's default mode for most of us. And that means that when we really have our mind around what God wants us to do, we understand that we are engaged in a battle. And that's why chapter 6 talked about don't yield your members, meaning your hands, your feet, your body, who you are, as instruments of unrighteousness. You see, every time you stand down, you discourage me. And I don't, you know, I got God. I can kind of reach up there and grab my anchor and say, God, pull me up. You know, I'm good. But the reality is every time you do show up and you do the right thing, I'm encouraged. You know, they take those little tests today. You got to have a number 2 pencil. And you fill in all the little holes and then they put it in a computer. They check it out. And that's what this book is. This book is, am I doing all right? Am I on the right track? He says you need to bear. You need to carry that. You need, as a strong person, to do what is right. And sometimes others aren't going to understand it. So you limit your liberty because of love. Okay? Now, your liberty for them was not keeping maybe the Sabbath. They would worship on Sunday morning because that was the day the Lord rose. You know, the finished work of redemption eclipsed the finished work of creation. That's why it got moved. Redemption was bigger and better and more awesome than creation. You think creation's awesome? I do. And yet we forget how hard it was to take a sinner and make him a saint. Now that's huge. The angels marvel. They fold their wings in silence, just sitting there watching us, saying, what? What? And then they see them say something cool, like a text message or show up when everything is falling apart in their life. Or plow through when it felt like, no, I couldn't make it to church. I'm going to just give up. And yet they got up and they went anyway. Because they had an allegiance to a king who they believed was real. And whom they believed they would stand before one day. Verse 2 says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good unto edification. When we show up, we encourage one another. That's building one another up. You and I, directly, you and I need to do everything we can to encourage the new believers who've shown up. Because the moment the new believer shows up and nobody's here, they think, well, that must not be all that important. And you've made your statement, and you've made it verbally, and you've made arrangements for everything except God. There's the test going through, and the little dots are filled in and pulled out. It doesn't keep you out of heaven, but it makes your journey to heaven much more blessed to know you're doing the right thing when the time comes that you can do the right thing. Very few things does God really ask you to do. Somebody said the first steps of a new believer are the church steps. Right? Makes sense, doesn't it? Sounds pithy. Well, what about the old believer? Shouldn't he still be on those steps? I think so. And he says in verse 3, he says, for even Christ didn't please himself. You say, but it's hard. I've worked all day. Well, wait a minute. What did Jesus do? Oh, he was not. It didn't cost him anything, no. Even Christ did not please himself. The Bible says he didn't please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. You know what he's saying? He's talking about the thee there. That's God. He's quoting from the Old Testament, and he does a lot of that in chapter 15 because he wants to ground everything he says, root it in Scripture. He says, the reproaches of them that reproached thee, O God, fell on me. What does it mean to reproach God? Well, the word reproach has as its core a word, the word name. In other words, a reproach is when somebody says bad things about you. And what you understand and what I understand is the world is no friend of grace. They hate God, and they think anybody who goes to church routinely and on purpose is a fanatic. Well, sign me up. Because at least I'm getting their attention. Every time your car drives out of the driveway on a Sunday morning and it goes out on a Wednesday night and you have a consistency about your life, listen, you're teaching your kids. Or not. Because our children are watching us. We've got the country song, Walk a Little Straighter, Daddy. I've heard that years. I don't know what all of it was about. But walk a little straighter, Daddy. Make provision for God. And your kids will want to be just like you. Because you're their hero. They think you're awesome. And whatever you do, they're going to want to do. And I realize you've got to make some choices and you have liberty, right? But the choices you make have to be well thought out. And that's why the Bible talked about it in chapter 14, didn't it? It said judgment. And it meant they will be scrutinized intensely. So when you have to resist a power, as in King George in America and stuff like that, you make an explanation. Make sure your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed and all's good. Because you have freedom, but you need to be on good moral ground and you need to have your scruples in order. He says Christ did not please himself. He let everybody laugh at him. And because they hated God, what'd they do? They nailed him to a cross. The reproaches that reproached thee, those reproaches fell on me. And when you are God's child, they will fall on you sometimes. It will cost you something to not please yourself.